Welcome to the Coventry and Warwickshire Green Business Programme podcast. Subscribe now for more episodes. Welcome to the 16th edition of the Green Business Podcast. I'm Jonathan Howell, Energy Advisor at Coventry City Council, and I'll be your host for today. Now, just to set the scene, first of all, as I like to do on these sessions, I'd like to give you some background to the Decarbonisation Net Zero Programme, what we are and what we do. The Decarbonisation Net Zero Programme covers the West Midlands Combined Authority and Warwickshire, and it's specifically designed to help businesses reduce their energy use and become more sustainable. So to help with that, we offer free energy audits, and most importantly, we have access to grant funding to help get those carbon reduction projects off the ground. Now, as part of that, we also like to keep our business community aware of other recommendations and tips that we may have. And most importantly, we love bringing you case studies of local successful businesses who are undertaking their own net zero journey. I often find that a good case study example is often better at providing guidance to a business than going through the various information sources out there, engaging with consultants and so on. So with this in mind, I think we have a superb business case study for you today, one that shows how to do things, do them right and do them well. So I'd like to introduce Robin Carruthers from Central Mailing Services to our podcast. Robin, welcome and thanks for joining us today.
Good morning all, thank you.
Thank you, Robin. So just to kick off then, very much a first interview style question, Robin. Can you give us a bit of the background to Central Mailing Services, what you do and what your role is within the organisation?
Sure. The actual company has been going since 1992 and started in basically a garage with two friends that decided they were going to get into business together.
Okay.
They had no machines. They had no sustainability. They had no plan. But won their first contract, which was actually Birmingham City Council.
Okay.
They then went on from that and then increased into a small place, small factory, yes, with their first machine.
Okay.
And very quickly got to a 3 million turnover within a couple of years.
Wow, good stuff.
So everything was going really well. They then increased that, and then they had an MBO later on to have a buyout from the actual management team. And
yes.
The current owner, Mitesh Chauhan, he owns the business and invested a lot of money into that business to take it from a very small little company,
yes,
to a nice sized company on a good site in Birmingham,
yeah,
on a gravelly estate. And that very quickly grew from sort of 3 million to 10 million
okay,
using the technology at the time and bringing work into the area onto a new new estate, which was built.
Yes.
So quite a modern estate.
Yes.
And then going forward from that, Mitesh had a vision to keep growing and keep winning work at the right price, at the right quality,
okay,
and for the market. So we continue to grow and we're on course for 17 million last year with a recorded EBITDA within a fiscal year. We're continuing to invest, and we've just spent approximately £2 million on new equipment over the next 2 years.
Excellent. Okay.
And the company's been going very, very well. And then a decision was made to look for a consultant. That's where I came in.
Yeah. Okay.
The manager before myself was leaving. He was going on to do something new. So there's an opportunity for me to join the business. I've been here about 6 months.
Okay.
And to look where they were and start pushing them to the next level.
Got it. Understood. Okay.
In all aspects of the business.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this sort of projects now for over 40 years. I've been in print and mailing for my whole career.
Yes.
So I bring a big experience, but also I bring new ideas because I've always kept my learning up to date with the latest training, yeah, technology, yeah, knowledge banks, etc.
Excellent. So a fresh pair of eyes sometimes helps, doesn't it? Bringing into an organisation of your size. So excellent. Okay. So just for my knowledge and the knowledge of our audience, what is it you guys do? What's your sort of core business activity? Just to sort of set some sort of context on it, please.
Okay. The core business is to take clients' data, produce that data into letter form,
mm-hmm,
and then insert that, whether that be into a traditional envelope or polyline or the new technology, which is paper wrapping.
Yes.
Which are 100% compostable.
Yes.
So again, moving forward, and each product can have up to 8 leaflets as well as the actual letter. We produce that. We mail sort it for Royal Mail or Whistle or any of the downstream access. That's our core business. We have a lot outside of that, but that is the core business. Yeah.
Excellent. Good answer. Thank you. So just moving on then to your sustainability, which obviously is my sweet spot. And by the sounds of it, that's your area as well. What's the sustainability journey been like for your business up to this point? And I'll sort of caveat that a little bit by, I could be wrong here, but I assume the previous business and the way it's been done historically in your sector, is that quite a carbon heavy sort of area or not? What I'm getting at is there've been lots of low hanging fruit to sort of go at to get you to the point where you're at now.
Yeah, the trade as it is obviously very reliant on material, papers, polys, and has changed dramatically because the reduction in poly, virgin material to paper. The company that I'm working for now, Central Mailing Services, have started a journey. They've done certain things like our lighting is all motion sensors.
When you walk
around, the lights are going on and off because that's planned. They are looking at, they've installed electric chargers for cars.
Yes.
They've looked at electric cars as well as getting rid of the fleet of diesel cars.
Yeah, excellent.
So they've started the journey, but they weren't sure what to do next. Where was the low-hanging fruit, as you called it?
Excellent. Okay, good stuff. So your background then in your 40-year career, then that's given you some good sort of ideas of where things were done. Well, not wrongly many years ago, but where things can be improved moving forward. Is that right? So drawing on your experience, basically.
Totally correct. At the beginning of my work, there was no sustainability. Environmental wasn't talked about. Health and safety was not really a major issue. Yeah. But I've been very fortunate in the positions that I've held that I've been at the forefront of all of that.
Excellent.
So I'm pretty sure where we are now is going to be a good starting point for Central Mailing Services.
Excellent. So would you consider yourself to have you're an environmentalist by the sounds of it. You're keen to keep abreast of the sustainability issues that are out there at the moment.
I think you have to be in business,
yeah. Good answer. Thank you. Okay, so just moving on then to the business as a whole. I see on your notes that you provided us with in terms of the business, in terms of your sustainability journey, your objective is to become carbon neutral by 2028.
That's correct.
So I'm always interested in this. So obviously you're involved in that and you've set your objectives. What were the main drivers behind that? Was it, and I don't want to answer the question for you, was it winning more business? Was it to eliminate some of your competitors? Was it a bit of both? If you could perhaps expand on that, that'd be fantastic.
Obviously people, our clients are looking to partner with sustainability businesses. They want to be involved in the environmental side of things. They want to understand it, which is a large part of it. But also, other companies want to be sustainable as well. So we all affect each other. One of the key reasons why we did it locally is because we want to push the word out locally on this estate into Birmingham. Yeah. That's why I did the speech for Aston University to start that kickoff process.
So
it's about winning clients, but it is also, can we actually get to 2028 and be neutral? That's the key thing. And that's a tough target, but it's doable. Yeah.
So do you, I mean, I often ask this question on these sessions because I'm an energy advisor and I'm out in the field a couple of days a week talking to businesses, trying to guide them on their journey. Do you think that by being carbon neutral, you're going to be able to win more business post 2028? Are people that you're going out and tendering for example, are they asking to see your carbon reduction credentials moving forward?
I would love to say yes. Obviously, cost does come into it.
Good point. Yeah, of course.
I do believe that people are looking to be more sustainable. And sometimes cost is not the first thing. It's more to do with good business practices.
Yeah, good answer. Thank you. So just then moving on to your plan. You've already alluded to a few of the things you've done under your reduction plan previously in one of your previous answers. And this is the bit that I sort of get involved in the most in terms of how are you doing things and what are the benefits basically. So can you just talk us through in a bit more detail about how you plan to reduce your power usage? And also, this is an interesting case study because you've also, I believe, focused on your staff and your waste as well in terms of your overall plan. So can you give us a bit of a talk through that, if that's okay, Robin?
So there's some big projects. So the biggest project that we're working on at the moment is solar power. Now, we see it on the news that people are putting these things into fields and taking up brown sites.
Yeah.
We're actually putting it on the roof.
Yes.
There's a perfectly good, strong roof up there. Yeah. We spoke with the landlord.
Yes.
We are working with the landlord, and we've signed off a project to put the whole roof of solar panels, which will give us 75% of our total power usage.
Brilliant.
So that's a very, very big project.
Yeah, yeah.
But you also have to look at all the smaller projects. So we're changing certain machinery, so more efficient machinery, looking at more intelligent machinery.
Yes.
But also we're doing the small things. So segregation of waste, we have different revenues of waste at the moment.
Yes.
But at the moment, we probably have 4 or 5. We need to that to be more like 10 or 12.
Okay.
And literally, you know, we're talking, you know, aluminium cans is one that we're going to be working on very soon.
Yeah. Okay.
The key thing is to reduce the landfill.
Yes.
Landfill for all businesses and homes is a massive problem.
Yes.
Everything we can take out of that is going to be happening. But also, you know, the employees have the ideas as well. It's not just me sitting here saying, oh, we're going to do this. The employees are having presentations from myself. Mm-hmm. They're understanding what we're doing, and they have a say in what we're doing as well. They will have some great ideas.
Excellent, excellent. I mean, we also encourage within the program behavioural change, staff engagement.
Definitely.
If anybody, I mean, my job is to identify areas of energy inefficiency, as it were, and just for the audience that's listening, you can save approximately 10% of your business energy use by engaging with your staff, by doing those staff behavioural changes. Closing doors, turning lights off, turning PCs off, being more energy conscious, you can reduce your usage by about 10%, and you will get more staff engagement on that as well. So that's something that we encourage a lot. But it's also interesting to sort of see your waste analysis in terms of, let's be honest, that's going towards a circular economy, which is obviously what we're looking to do basically in terms of your waste usage. So that's fantastic. Can you also tell us then about your involvement with the ISOs, the ISO 14001 and the 9001? Have you been involved in sort of rolling those out throughout the business? And is that a new thing that you've implemented?
No, it's not a new thing. I've been involved with the ISOs for probably 15 years at other companies.
Okay. Yeah.
And I've always been the chair, if you like, for the ISOs and had a team of people doing the day-to-day.
Yeah, yeah.
Central Managed Services already have those, but we're using them more for the simple reason that the 9001 is a continual improvement.
Yes.
And that's not just about production.
Yes.
But that does help, obviously. But it's also about the training of the staff, the best practices, the processes, the procedures. The 14001 is an environmental, it's independently audited. It's an international recognized standard. There's a million businesses involved with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's some real good information there that you can use to help yourselves, from a business point of view, improve.
Yes.
But it's also very structured. So it's a very, very simple process to follow. You have a set of rules. You implement those rules. You then improve and change on those rules. And the ISOs are an extremely powerful usage for clients to understand where you are within this journey.
Yes. Yeah. So it's obviously continually improvement, but it's showing your clients that you're committed to the actual journey moving forward, which of course is the important thing, basically.
Yeah.
And on the same sort of topic then, I believe you're committed to the West Midlands Combined Authority Net Zero Business Pledge as well. Is that something that you can perhaps expand on for us, if that's been of help to the business?
Yeah, we've just signed for that. And the good thing for that is it's more local. Lots of these things we're talking about, recycling and ISOs, are international.
Yes, of course.
We're very, very keen on also doing something for the local area. So we've joined local charities, for example. We're working with the Birmingham Hospice. They're our chosen charity for the year. We're working with companies around this area to see if we can help them improve their sustainability as well.
Yes. Yeah. So you're spreading the knowledge, basically, and engaging with your wider community, basically.
And by joining the West Midlands, it's given us that window of opportunity to identify people to talk to.
Yes.
By going to some of the meetings, etc. Because we're all isolated. We all work within our own buildings.
Yes.
And we want to get that message out there. And if we can help other companies, even better.
Yeah, it's all about that networking and growing the ecosystem, basically, in terms of our area and then wider, basically. So with that in mind, and I ask this question a lot, have you found that by being, let's be honest, you're at the front of this, from what I understand and what I'm seeing so far, have you found that that's helped you attract staff and retain staff? Are people more keen to work for a business like yours moving forward, do you think?
I think the key thing is with staff is the commitment to change. Some people are, you have to deliver it so that they understand what the change is about. We are looking for more staff. We are always looking for more staff of the right caliber.
Yes.
And the commitment to the business is key to us, and we can train anybody to do anything that we require them to do. This year is the first year that we're actually doing an open day for apprentices. So on the 20th of March, we've invited 12 young children to come from schools that could be on our next generation. They will be trained completely different than the older generation, because it's going to be about sustainability and environmental. It is a massive change from in the 40 years that I've been in the trade.
Yeah. It's now embedded in the business, isn't it, basically, moving forward?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, excellent. Okay. Can I ask then, in regards to all of your projects, the more on-site projects you've undergone, which are the capital-heavy projects, have you accessed any grant funding for those, such as the solar and the lighting and so on? And if so, could you sort of talk through that, if that's possible?
The only one we've actually got funding for at the moment, and I've applied for, is our compressors. So excellent. When I first started here, our compressors are very, very old.
Yes.
And they continually run, so they're continually making compressed air.
Yes.
The newer models nowadays only actually deliver that when it's required. So it makes it on demand.
Yes.
So we spoke to the West Midlands Birmingham Council, and as a partnership, we are now investing into new compressors.
Yes.
They're being installed this month.
Good news.
And they will use less power.
Yes.
They're more efficient. They've got an AI brain as such. And then the key thing is, once that's in place, is the question that we were asked yesterday is that completed that project? Well, actually, no, because we were talking to the actual engineers. Well, what you could do is take the heat from the compressors and heat your factory.
Yeah, excellent.
So we've gone from, yes, we've solved one problem, but we actually could produce our own heat.
Yes.
And then we don't use gas. I mean, we're very fortunate on this site. We do not use gas. We don't need to use gas. Everything is electrical, the heating, etc.
Yeah.
So we can produce our own heat. So in effect, we've got two projects.
Yes.
For the price of one, in effect.
It's a win-win-win, basically.
So
the calculations I've seen with compressors, that they can be up to 50% more efficient than an old fixed speed unit. But if you're getting that extra bolt on of the heat being produced as well, then it's obviously going to further increase that efficiency and further drive down your usage. And then, of course, you've got the solar in the project as well, which further drives things down. So you're really looking at the right things there. And just for our audience, that's the kind of things that our grant funding and energy auditing would cover. So if that is of interest, as I'll explain a little bit later on, get in touch and we can help with those kind of things for you. Okay. So just wrapping up now then, Robin, as a very overall kind of question, what advice would you give to a business or an organisation that's just starting out on a sustainability journey today? What are the pitfalls? What would you recommend, and what would you say steer well clear of that moving forward?
I think the key thing is that you need to start the journey with baby steps. Don't try and do everything in one go. Look for the simple wins to start with.
Yes.
And the key thing is involve the team. It's not a one man or one woman. Involve the team. Don't try and do all the big stuff straight away. Lead your team through the journey. Somebody always told me, listen to the people at the back of the room. The ones that don't shout out, they have the better ideas.
Yes.
And it's getting those ideas to come forward from the team will actually make sustainability an easy journey. And obviously, speak to the specialists, get advice. Yeah. If you can get funding, look at funding. Have it all evaluated and just look for the solutions. And the key one is embrace the change, because change is going to happen whether we embrace it or not. So you might as well embrace it and get on the journey.
It's a good point. You either go with it or you work against it, basically. So good answer and good advice. So if anybody out there is listening, those are the key things I would take away. Engage, there's cost savings involved, there's staff retention involved. It's very much a win for your business, basically. So engage with specialists, engage with us, and we're there to help you. Lovely. That is all for today. So thank you very much for giving us some really good answers to those questions. And I would just guide everyone through our next upcoming events now. Anyone that's interested in engaging with us further, we are at the following events moving forward. On the 13th of March, we are at the Coventry Business Expo at the Village Hotel. 18th of March, we are at the FSB Bootcamp at Coombe Abbey. And then finally, the 21st of March, we are present at VentureFest at the Eastside Rooms in Birmingham. So if this is of interest to you, you want to talk through your net zero journey in more detail, come along with us and engage with us in person. So just to confirm again what we have access for you for free. We can give your business a free energy audit, so we can spot those things that Robin's talked about, compressors, lighting and solar and so on. We have grant funding of between £1,000 to £100,000 available based on a 50% intervention, and that can go towards those energy efficiency improvements. So all details on how to register for those upcoming events and how to engage with our decarbonisation net zero programme are in the podcast description. And we've also put a link in there to Robin's company if anyone wants more information on them. So that's all for today. Thanks to Robin for joining us, and thanks to everyone for listening.